This is one in a series of podcasts from Lutheran Education Australia, My Principals Who Serve in Lutheran Education.
Hello, my name is Jane Mueller. I'm the principal of Living Faith Lutheran Primary School in Murrumba Downs, Queensland. And I am super excited to welcome Brad Williams to this week's LEA podcast. Brad first encountered Lutheran education as a student at Loxton Lutheran School in his senior primary schooling years. Fast forward a few years and Brad became a teacher at Loxton Lutheran School in his graduate year before honing his teaching skills in a range of remote communities, including the Tiwi Islands. Brad fulfilled principalships in schools in North and far North Queensland before circling back to South Australia's beautiful Riverland, where he has returned to Loxton Lutheran School, this time as principal. Brad's entire career has been in remote, rural and regional centres, which, in my opinion, more than qualifies him to provide some insight today into leading in a regional community. Brad, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure, Jane. Thank you very much for having me.
Brad, you were the principal at St. Rita's Catholic School just outside Innisfail in Queensland before you accepted the call to return to Loxton. Tell me about your decision to return home.
Thanks, Jane. Well, it wasn't an easy call, and this is one of two very big God moments in my life. And I'm happy to share the other one with you if time prevails. But essentially, there's a bit of a backstory. I was principal at a place called St. Anthony's in Dimbula, and we loved it there. We made friends. My wife had a horse, kids had friends, we're in sport. We loved it. The only problem was a school of 54. The town was getting smaller. And so in time, I knew that the school was just going to go down in size rather than up. So in terms of, you know, learning and growing as a principal, I thought there was going to be a ceiling. So towards the end of 2016, the director of Catholic education at the time invited me to apply for the job down at South Johnston. That was a school of about 120. So I talked about it with my wife. We deliberated for weeks. In the end, accepted the job, and you know, we relocated down there in the holidays of sort of 2016 2017. Kids made that adjustment super easy. They were fantastic. Jody, my wife, probably found that transition to Innisfail a little bit trickier, and found it really hard, I guess, to connect in with some people. Just wasn't enjoying that move. And so I was at a PD in Cairns, which was about an hour and a bit north of where we were living. And that was in May. So I'd only been at the school literally 4.5 months. And I get a call from her one night. She'd had a bad day at work. One of the kids was sick. And she just called me and said, "I just don't think I can do this here anymore. Like I've had enough here. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go back. I want to work back with Dad in the shop, back in Loxton, this is." You know, only a lazy 4,000 k's away. I want to head back, and, you know, I'm going to do that at the end of the year. You know, so in conversation, you know, I didn't want to give up what I was doing. You know, we'd worked hard for a few years to, I guess, for me to be able to get to a point in my leadership where I wanted to be, and I didn't necessarily want to give that up. So, you know, sort of said, well, but, you know, that's okay. If there's a principal job, you know, coming up next year as well, I'll throw my hat in the ring and hopefully we can make it work. There are 4 Catholic schools in the Riverland. And I said, you know, one of those or even Loxton Lutheran School, because I went to that school as a child. And so that particular night, you know, after Jodie and I had finished talking, I got on Teachers on Net and the job was advertised. I had no idea that it was up. I didn't know that Terry, the previous principal, had already made the call to retire. So long story short, if Jodie doesn't call me that night and we don't have that conversation, you know, there's no Brad Williams at Loxton Lutheran School. It just wouldn't have happened. So firmly believe that God was talking through us that particular night. Firm believer, everything happens for a reason and God puts you where he wants you. So that's one of my two God moments, Janie.
That is super special. And you know, in Psalm 37, we read that when you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And there it is in your God moment right there.
Absolutely.
You mentioned that you do have a second God moment. Are you prepared to share that one?
Well, I can. It pertains to the birth of my eldest daughter, Georgia. So my wife, Jody, was due to give birth in about 5 or 6 weeks' time. So me and a group of mates, we travelled from Loxton up to a place called Nanjalok, which is sort of near Mildura. I guess just for a bit of a, you know, a last sort of boys' trip before perhaps fatherhood changes your social routine a little bit. And so it's about 2 hours away from Loxton. When we left, Jody was all fine, no signs of labour. So I thought, well, we're good to go. Got up to Nanjalok and we were fishing for Murray cod, which predominantly you catch at night time. So with a group of mates, very poor phone service. So as well as fishing, you know, having a few beers, just having a good relax, and that night, just sitting around the fire, having a few drinks, at about 12 o'clock at night, one of my friends, his bell goes off on his rod, and he's caught a really big cod. And we go to measure it, but to do that, we had to go to where our bags and swags were. So we go over there, we're measuring this cod, and then I could hear my phone ring. And got over to it, I'd missed it, I had 14 missed calls on my phone. Managed to call what was my brother-in-law, He said, mate, where are you? Jody's gone into labour, you've got to get back. I think, oh my God, how am I going to get back? You know, wasn't able to drive. Luckily, there was one in our group who could. So we got in the boat, drove across the river, got in a ute, and then drove to Mildura, where my mother-in-law is, and she was able to get me back, and I made it with about 15 minutes spare. And I saw, Georgia get delivered. If my friend Michael hadn't have caught that cod, we weren't going to measure. I wouldn't have heard the phone. So, again, that was God saying, Brad, this is what's happening. This is the only way that I can speak to you at the moment. So I firmly believe he put the fish on the hook. That doesn't happen. I don't get back, probably until the following day, and I miss it.
My goodness, just another story of God carrying you.
Oh, absolutely. That for me, so that happened back in 2006, and that really started my journey of exploring faith. That was the precursor to me exploring God and wanting to get to know that relationship a whole lot more than what I was.
Yeah, quite amazing the way that God tapped you on the shoulder in quite explicit ways.
Absolutely.
And then, set you on a path.
Absolutely.
Mm, mm. Given the pandemic started in 2020, if you were going to give 2020 a hashtag, what would it be?
Look, Jane, 2020, unashamedly, is the hardest year that I've ever had to deal with. Now, COVID played a part in that, obviously, and certainly professionally, I don't think I've ever worked as hard or been as stressed, you know, as that time right at the beginning of that pandemic. But for lots of other reasons, you know, 2020 was a really, really hard year. So, you know, I had all these things like hashtag awful, hashtag stressful, hashtag what is sleep, hashtag thank God for wine, but also hashtag try to find the positives, because at the end of it, that's what I really had to try and do. You know, you have to try and look for the positives through some of the adversity that was really prominent for me and really people and other people really close to me.
Brad, Loxton has a population of about 6,000 and its main industries are agriculture and horticulture.
Yep.
Sheep, wheat, barley, grapes, citrus fruit, stone fruit and almonds are Loxton's primary productions. And in amongst all of that sits Loxton Lutheran School. Now, I've gone on a bit of an exploration of the school's website and I was drawn to the tagline, which features nine words that really pack a punch. And those nine words are: we nurture, we educate, we inspire, we are community. What's special or unique about community in a regional centre?
I think in a regional centre, you hear, you see, you feel community. You live it. It's just, it's part and parcel of everything that happens. Every moment, really, within a day is about community. And I haven't spent enough time at larger centres, so I mean, maybe the same could be said there as well. But in a place like Loxton, community is just visible in everything that happens. And when people move here from the city, Jane, one of the first things that I always hear is just the people here are so nice. It's just such a great community. So that word is just so prominent in what people see and feel, especially when they're not from here. They comment on it all the time. So I guess in regional places, members really rally and support some of those essential places like hospitals and schools. They know and recognise how important they are to the vibrancy and to your place, but the role they play in attracting people to your town as well. You know, without a strong hospital, without strong schools, people don't want to come. So I think here in Loxton especially, people know and understand that and they work hard to support them and ensure that they're the best they can be. Sport's pretty big in community, especially here in Loxton. When places, you know, there are some small towns outside of Loxton that have unfortunately through COVID and just, you know, bigger farms, less people, they haven't been able to field teams over recent years. And when that happens, the clubs fold and you can just see the loss of community. Sport is like a social fabric almost that holds people together here. And when that's gone, part of that essence of community, it disappears. And it's really important for any principal who wants to serve in a regional centre. It's really important to understand that community is just central to what it is that you do.
Can you tell me something about leading in a remote regional or rural community that those who've served only in metropolitan areas wouldn't know?
Look, I think leading in a regional community can be immensely rewarding and can teach you so much. If you're prepared to listen, if you're prepared to go, if you're prepared to get outside of your school and visit places and talk to people, I guess if you're also prepared to get out of your comfort zone a little bit, it can be a really rewarding experience. I think conversely, leading in a regional place can also be really, really tricky. John, I think there are complexities and nuances, you know, in every school and community. I don't think you need to be a city school or a regional school. That's across the board. But I think in a regional place, some of them are magnified. I really do. So I think when you're a principal, a regional spot, I think you need to understand that, that your school is in the spotlight of community. You know, it's one of those, as I just said before in that last question, it's one of the things that people look to when deciding, are they going to move here from a place like Adelaide or not? They look to the schools, they look to the hospitals. As an example, Loxton's really, really drought prone. In 2018, 2019, Loxton experienced two of the very driest years ever on record. So because our main industries are tied up with farming, all right, we had two consecutive droughts. So for farmers, essentially, that's almost 24, 36 months. You got no income. Now, farming drives a lot of the economy here in Loxton. All right, so farmers haven't got money. If the irrigators haven't got their full allocation of water, or if they're now paying higher amounts for water, they haven't got the money then to spend in local business. If local business don't have the money to spend, or they're not getting the income that they were, there goes sponsorships for your clubs, for your schools and whatever else. As a principal in a regional centre, you need to understand that, right? You need to know how things are tied, how things are linked. Without that understanding, you might go into, you might not be able to best respond to what's going on. You know, in that time, every conversation that I was having was tied or linked to that drought some way. And that, I guess, the economic stresses that people were going through. You were dealing with so much. People were in tears. People were not going to know where the next dollar is going to come from, where they're going to lose their farms, their livelihood. Immensely stressful. I grew up in Loxton. I lived on a farm. The same thing happened to my parents when I was 7 or 8. So I've lived through it. Being able to understand it and respond to it helps in the conversations that you have then with people and the decisions that you make as a school. So we were able to hold school fees. We were able to help support those who couldn't. People needed to know, don't worry about it. We want you here still. Don't worry about the fees. All right? As a board, haven't put fees up at all. In fact, even dropped them again last year, just in response. But you need to have an understanding of what's going on in your community. You know, in a regional community, you can develop friendships at a really deep level. I mean, you live in a small place, you work in a small place. The likelihood is you go to the footy club on a Thursday night, you know, to pick up Sam from footy training. You walk in there, there's 10 or 12 parents, you know, that you see. So there exists great opportunities for connection with people that you may not necessarily get in the city. You know, I'm not sure where you live, Jane, but if you would go to the local sort of sporting club, you're going to bump into that many parents. You do here in Loxton. That's just how it is. So I think there is opportunity to develop really good relationships with people, you know, through sport or other social functions. You have to be really strong and professional though to be able to set some of those boundaries, because there is a trap. You know, when you see people out in those social places, they want to talk school. So you've got to be strong and set those boundaries around what it is that you're prepared to share or talk about. Let them know early on. Come and see me Monday to Friday. We can talk. And you know, you want to go out and just enjoy a beer and not sort of be drawn into school.
Brad, what's the biggest obstacle you're facing right now?
I guess there are a couple. Probably like a lot of principals, we're getting a larger percentage of neurodiverse prep students moving through our schools, Jane. I guess that creates some pressure around staffing and, you know, building capacity, service providers. Being a regional place, that's probably a little trickier again. The second challenge or obstacle that we've got at the moment, and it's a really good one, is that we are running out of room. we've seen a very steep increase in the number of children moving through our school and early learning centre, so we don't have a spare learning space at the moment, and running out of room really quickly. And I guess on a more personal level, and this is something that might resonate strongly with a lot of leaders, is trying to give the best of yourself or the best version of yourself to everyone in your life. So whether that's, you know, husband, father, principal, friend, trying to give the best of yourself to everyone is a bit of a personal challenge at the moment. Still exploring the best ways, or trying to find ways to be able to do that. But I don't think I'm alone there either.
Yeah. Principalship can be highly rewarding as a vocation, but it can also be very lonely. Can you talk a little about your support networks?
Look, it can be lonely. And I think until you sit in the chair of principalship, I don't think anybody else really understands or appreciates what happens. I mean, even the people in your leadership team, you know, I don't think they get it in its entirety, because ultimately the buck stops with the principal. So I'm lucky, Jane, my best mate who I was talking about before, who underwent or had cancer, he's a principal. So he's not a great listener. But I guess knowing that there's somebody else who's going through the same sorts of stuff, you know, he appreciates it, he understands it. So, you know, when he's not too busy talking, I can get a few words in, we flesh a few things out. In my previous place of employment up in the Cairns Diocese, had some fantastic mates and principals up there who I could talk to. It's probably taken me longer to establish networks here since I came back to Loxton Lutheran. I think part of the complexity lies in the Loxton sort of, you know, 70 k's away from the nearest Lutheran school. You know, Wakery is 70 k's, then you've got the Barossa and then Adelaide, so they're all a couple of hours on. I didn't know any other leader or person within sort of Lutheran education at the time, so there was, you know, no relationship already with anyone, which probably made it a little bit tricky. I think on reflection, what I needed to do was probably be a little bit more proactive myself in trying to seek some other people out and look to build those networks. I'm really proud to say that, you know, I've been in this role for nearly 4 years. Like, I think I'm confident in saying that I've got a good network now of other principals around me, people who've got on my phone contacts now and would pick up the phone if I call them and needed some help or advice. I think being on the principals and directors executive group, I think it's probably helped strengthen my relationship with the range of principals who serve our schools.
What's your hot tip for the mental well-being of our education leaders?
Oh, a couple of real hot tips here, Janie. I think the first one is probably for the listeners to know that I struggle at times a lot with my own anxiety and can be prone to letting things that happen here at school dictate and dominate my life. All right, so I offer these two tips as someone who's probably lived and worked through some of those battles of being a principal. Loxton, I live here in Loxton and I'm literally 5 minutes from a school, literally 5 minutes. So very easy to pop in here in holidays, weekends, after school. So tip number one is when you're taking a holiday in a regional place, go somewhere else, get right away, because reality is you go up the street, you go shopping, wherever else, you are going to bump into families. All right. So things that remind you of school. So get away. My best breaks are those where I'm not in Loxton. I don't have the discipline, Jane, to not come into school if I take a holiday here in Loxton. So number two is probably a little bit linked, and that is, as a principal, give yourself the grace to take some of your annual leave. I took 2 weeks, I think, in my first 3 years here, and I'm sure that contributed probably to some of the health stuff that I've had over the last, you know, 12 months. Give yourself the grace to take some of your annual leave, because you are ultimately better for it and you give a better version of yourself to others in taking it. There are some times where it's harder to do it, but where the opportunity exists, take your leave. You just have to.
Really valuable advice, Brad. Speaking of advice, what's a piece of advice that has been handed to you previously that still resonates with you today?
Really good piece of advice from Bill Dixon, Director of Catholic Education. Before I took this job here at Loxton Lutheran School, he said, Brad, before you start, get an independent school review. Get that done in the first few weeks that you're there. So we did, got Quelly to come down and do a school review using the National School Improvement Tool. It helps almost set your improvement agenda for the next period, gives an opportunity for people to feed into that. It's not your voice speaking through that. Was such a great piece of advice and was so powerful for me in leading our school. Probably flows on to the next, which was, don't look to do anything too big and drastic in your first 100 days. All right, take time to listen, to talk, to observe, build trusting relationships amongst your staff. If you do anything too drastic too early, you just lose people. So take the time to sit, listen, observe when you're starting in a new place.
Great advice. Hey, Brad, if you were interviewing you today, what would you have asked yourself that I haven't asked you?
So I've put down some questions, Jane, and I've put these here maybe to encourage or get other people who are aspiring leaders to reflect on. So when's the right time to start exploring leadership? you know, what age or stage of your life should a person start to do that? Another question to ask might be, is it important to be a deputy principal or to hold some other leadership role first before stepping into the principal role? How long should a principal stay in one school? What, if anything, has changed in the role in the time that you've been a principal? And, I mean, the last one you touched on a little bit then, best piece of advice you've received thus far. So they're questions that I'd, you know, maybe encourage other people to have a think of before they, before maybe they step into a leadership role or start thinking about it.
They're great questions, and you're helping me with future podcasts to map out my questions now. Thank you.
Well, that's great.
And I can't help but think, as you were offering those questions, I was thinking, I don't know if they would have black and white answers. I wonder if the answers would be grey for each one according to circumstances. Thank you so much, Brad, for providing such generous insight into leading in a regional community. Your honesty and your vulnerability are an absolute blessing, and it's clear that God has equipped you and continues to equip you with everything you need to glorify Him through your service at Loxton. But all that said, before you go, I have a really important question to finish on. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Would you rather ride a giraffe or an elephant to work, and why?
Wowzers, a giraffe or an elephant? Okay, well, I think a giraffe would probably buckle its legs under my current weight. So probably have to choose the elephant. But, like, to be honest, if I had a choice, I'd probably choose something like Battle Cat from He-Man. I think that'd be a little more adventurous, a little more risk-taking. Do you know Battle Cat from He-Man, Jane?
No, you're going to have to fill me in.
Oh, well, he's the scaredy cat. When He-Man transforms into his state, gets turned into a big battle cat. You have to look at it, Jane, all right? Can't be an elephant or giraffe. It's got to be Battle Cat.
All right, I'm going to Google that tonight. Thank you. Yeah. And I love an outside-the-square answer.
You have to be sometimes.
Brad, thanks again so much for your time today. It's been an absolute delight to listen to you, and I'm confident that those listening to this podcast have so many wonderful gems to draw from it. God bless you.
And you too, Jane. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, check out the LEA website, where you'll find more podcasts on a range of topics for anyone interested in leading in Lutheran education.